The secret side of me, I never let you see. Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Josh Stackhouse, Davis Rangy. Going to be joined by John Dunn for his weekly appearance at 7:20. Guys, big news right off the top. Tennessee has landed 4-star point guard. You paying attention?
Yeah, okay. I was just, okay. I thought you left me on a cliffhanger there, dude. I was about to fall off the edge and die. Oh, my God.
But you're like fading out for a second.
Just hung me out to dry. Drop it. Finish it.
Oh, man. Anyway, we've landed 2023 class 4-star Freddie DeLeon, however you pronounce his name. He is committed to Tennessee. He says, quote, "I trust Coach Barnes and his staff to push me to the next level and achieve my ultimate dream." Another big pickup by Rick Barnes and company.
I like that statement by him actually a lot, because you know, like, what we tend to see is that Rick Barnes is going to push you to get perfection out of you. You know, a lot of kids don't handle that well, and we've seen some have to transfer out because of that.
Well, I mean, we're starting to see a lot of guys that have come in under Rick Barnes make it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not making it to the NBA, they're at least playing in Europe.
Yeah.
Like some of the more premier leagues. You can't say the same about, like, you know, John Fulkerson or somebody like that. I mean, he's going over there because he loves the game of basketball. But the big thing surrounding Rick Barnes, and everyone here can attest to this, you have got to get it done in March. With the seeds that we have been given, and the furthest we've made it is the Sweet 16, and we did that one time. Other than that, we're not getting out of the first weekend. That's got to change.
If he has one Elite Eight appearance, do you think, like, all of Knoxville views him differently?
No.
Just one?
No.
Really? You need more than one?
You have got to make it to at least a Final Four. Yeah.
At least one?
At least one.
Yeah. Hmm.
I just want one with him. That's all I'm asking. I don't need two or three. I just need one. That's it.
If he got me a Final Four, I mean, that would completely redefine his entire legacy here. I mean, he's already probably the greatest, right, basketball coach Tennessee history, right? Arguably, you can throw it out there, I guess. But yeah, no, I don't know. Because I think even right now, you'd probably still say I wouldn't take Bruce just because the way he left Knoxville and kind of had to leave with what.
I mean, he wasn't given a chance.
I guess, but I mean, he was going to have to go no matter what there in that situation. There's just no way to retain him there.
Okay.
I mean, and then.
But in regards to Rick Barnes,
I'd probably put him over Bruce Pearl, man. I mean, he's consistent.
He has won an SEC championship.
We're a top 10 basketball program now. I mean, consistently have been one. His March troubles, we can talk about that, but he also did get us an SEC championship.
A real one.
Yeah, like, would you trade that for one Elite Eight?
Not an Elite Eight, maybe a Final Four.
I don't even know I'd trade it for a Final Four. Final Fours are pretty dope.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Would you, Davis, would you trade it for an Elite Eight or for a Final Four? Let's do that. Would you trade the SEC championship this year for a Final Four?
Yes, 1,000%. I mean, the SEC championship, it really means nothing. The only reason we were so hype on it because we hadn't won it in, what, 40 years?
It had been a while.
We were just begging for one. But a Final Four, it means a lot more to the national landscape and overall than a SEC championship.
Well, and then we realized this past year that Sunday games don't mean anything. Joe Lenardi just came right out and said, it's like, reason that Tennessee didn't get a 2 seed is because these Sunday games don't matter. And it's like, okay, if they don't matter, then why are you taking the champion from those tournaments that are playing those championship games on Sunday? Obviously, the Sunday games do matter when they want them to. But, I mean, as we found out, those brackets, I mean, they're usually decided by that Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good point, too.
A&M got snubbed.
I would probably choose the Final Four, too, because especially if we did make it, you know, I'd like to think we'd have a good chance of winning.
And let me ask you this. Who do you think is the most underachieving coach in America?
Probably Calipari. Calipari by far. I don't care how far he's made it every time, but to not win it with the NBA superstars that he's put into the NBA, I don't care, man. That's just that's a letdown. Like, imagine that's Tennessee. I mean, would you take? Okay. I feel like everybody would probably take Kentucky's basketball, I guess, overall landscape for his like failures. Because like I don't know, that's a lot of heartbreak just to be hype about, you know, having good players every year. Because I mean, if you're not winning the national championship and you think you're this all powerful thing, I don't know. Would you trade? Would you rather have Kentucky's basketball program?
No,
really?
No.
Like lose all those games that you should have won, or be where we're at now?
I'd rather be where we're at now.
I'm asking
because the reason I ask that question is the name that comes up more times than none is Mark Few up at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
They're bro. I hate Gonzaga because they basically stat pad their schedule. I mean, they play nobody during the year. Grass is your number one ranking, and then when it happens in the tournament, you play somebody that's really good, you get beat every single year. They've never won a national championship. Probably okay. Never will.
And Rick Barnes has been at Tennessee since 2015, the 2015-2016 season. In that time, Gonzaga, we'll go in order here, a Sweet 16, a runner-up finish, a Sweet 16, an Elite 8, a runner-up, and a Sweet 16. Makes you think.
I mean, it's no doubt that they're good, but, like, I'm just saying they'll never win. I don't think they'll ever win a national championship.
And they probably won't, but.
Yeah. Stackhouse said, would you rather just, like, have all that hype and never actually win? Like, we don't. Tennessee never gets national hype like Gonzaga or Kentucky does in basketball. It's just kind of, we know they're going to be a solid team. We never pick them to win the whole thing kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only time that we were really hyped up was Bruce's last year before all the stuff came out. And then we saw it all tumbling down at the Oakland game that year. We were 8-0 going in that game, and then the wheels just fell off the wagon. And that wasn't any more apparent like than the game against Michigan in the first round of the NCAA tournament that year, where I think we might have scored like 6 points in the second half. That was a joke.
Yeah, that was. I kind of fear that with Rick Barnes, like, he's going to consistently keep us as a top 10 program. But our patience will wear thin with just Sweet 16s, and it already has run thin, clearly, but I don't think you'll ever get any. Do you really see us going any further? I mean, we could possibly get an Elite Eight.
Well, the Grant and Admiral team.
Is that really anything much better? Because, I mean, honestly, man, we've had some teams that probably should have gone further than an Elite Eight, too.
The Grant and Admiral team?
Yeah, and honestly, even last year's team should have easily. That was a really well-rounded team. I mean, we had some inside scorers and outside shooters and that. I mean, we haven't had a really well-rounded, sound team, I think. That was such a missed, blown opportunity that. This one was tough, man.
Nothing was tougher, though, than the Sweet 16 game against Purdue up in Louisville.
This one was tough, dude. We should have wasted away Michigan, man.
We should have.
I cried. I cried after the Purdue game. I was a grown man. I was 18 years old, and I cried. Like,
yeah,
that was the best team I've ever seen, probably, in Tennessee lifetime, just all around by far.
Yeah, that Purdue loss was something else, man.
Well, and one of the things that I want you guys to watch tonight,
that's
y'all to watch two things.
Two big losses, though.
It's two big losses, but here's the thing. I want you to go back and I want you all to watch the second half of that Purdue game in 2019.
I won't.
That might be one of the best college tournament games of all time.
It was a mad annoying game. I hated that game.
That stupid Ryan Klein, bro. I'll never forget it. Like, I was at that. I couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
The losses we've suffered are some horrendous losses. I mean, gut punching basketball.
Oh, they were. Because, I mean, you got to think. We came back from 18 down. We came back from 18 down.
Yeah.
We couldn't miss. God. But they also couldn't miss.
Dude, it was just. I think the Purdue loss and this Michigan loss, and These are some of like the hardest losses I think in like Tennessee sports and history. Like these are hard losses, man. Because like there's no reason we should have lost to Purdue. They were cold, but we should have definitely still beat them. And then same thing with Michigan. They had a big man, and even their like
Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, man. Yes. And he's not even. I don't even think he liked that though, because Kennedy was taking him off the dribble like nobody's business. It had me just in awe of how well Kennedy was working him at the top of the top, dude. I don't know. That game really,
the most effort I've ever seen anybody put into a basketball game.
Yeah, man, and he cried like he deserved it too, cuz I mean,
and that hook shot by Eli Brooks, it was like I literally went in the gym afterwards and tried it 10 times, I couldn't make it. He was going full speed towards the baseline, literally just threw like a Kareem hook shot on the right side, threw it up. Went in, I put him up five. Like, that was game.
And he's been that for Michigan, dude, for like I guess 2-3 years now. Because he'll hit the dumbest shots, man. I could not stand watching that kid play. I'd watch him, like, play against Ohio State, too, dude. And he would make some dummy shots. He would come out of nowhere and just be their star for no reason. It's the last person we needed to get hot, too. And he got hot against us. Yeah. Sad times. I don't know why we just went off of down a deep, dark hole. God.
Well, anytime you...
This has got to be super sad. Well, I mean, that's the thing. That
anytime you bring up Tennessee basketball, anytime something good happens, anytime you land a big recruit or a big transfer, the one thing that's always going to surround that program is what we do not do in the postseason. And that is that we do not go any further than the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight.
Do you think this team's going to be better than last year's team? I really like the transfers we brought in, and I like some of these kids we're signing right now.
I mean, that's why some polls have us ranked at 9th and others have us ranked at 19th.
Yeah.
The ones that have us ranked 9th are because of what we have coming in. The ones that have us at 19th are the ones that are looking at what we have going out.
Yeah.
But you've also got a player like Julian Phillips, then you got BJ Edwards. You know, Julian Phillips, he's probably going to be a one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jonas Adu is going to be really good this year also.
That is one guy I'm really excited for.
Yeah, I just don't think he got enough run last year that he deserved. Like, in the Kentucky game, he was great, and then we just kind of stuck with Euros. I mean, we can all be real here and know that Jonas Adu is a better ball player than Euros.
That he is. Let's get some phone calls going. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the show. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All that shimmers in this world is sure to fade away. Whoever is messing with my bumpers,
this is horrible.
Stop messing with my bumpers.
I had to know what it was. It sounded kind of like the title is piqued my interest. It's Fuel Shimmer. One, I read it as Fuel Simmer, but I'm dyslexic, I think. But it's Fuel Shimmer, and that's gone. Get that out of there.
I don't ever want to hear that again.
We're so sorry we brought y'all back into that. Pretty sure,
fits the mood of the last conversation. I was going to try to spin it into something positive.
Yeah, really, just, again, a gut punch to my feelings and my emotions.
Good night. Oh, man. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Who we got, Stack?
Fake Bob.
Embarrassing. Fake Bob.
Fake Bob. What's up, Fake Bob?
What up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Hey, is this a Tennessee sports radio show?
It is.
I mean, you have a Kentucky fan calls every day. Now you got Roll Tide, Stackhouse.
What?
Talking about Henry T yesterday.
Oh.
All about
oh, yeah. Roll Tide Stack. Roll Tide Stack.
I don't want to ever have that sentence ever. Please. That's just not fair.
The Alabama jersey and the Henry T jersey is on its way.
He's supporting his NIL.
Yeah, I'm just about these kids making millions off of the backs of victories.
I mean, it seems like Davis is the only right one on this show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
you, Bob.
Anyways, I was going to call and ask, and I'll hang up and listen. How big of the tight ends do you think are going to be in our passing game this year? Because I think Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren's going to catch a whole lot more balls than they did last year. And I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Bob. So my thing is, I love when the tight ends get the ball because you know something big is about to happen.
It's just always like a 20, 25-yard catch.
Always.
Because it just fits. Because, you know, you never really expect them to get the ball. And then when they do, you're like, oh, yeah, it's 30 yards downfield.
Well, the thing is, like, you see tight ends get the ball more and more, especially in an offense like Josh Heupel's. So I think Jacob Warren and Princeton fan, they're going to get a lot more catches this year, a lot more touches with the ball. But we need to find our Brock Bowers. That's what we need. Yeah. We need a Jason Witten, Brock Bowers-style tight end that can just mow people down because that's just what they do.
And actually, Princeton Fant spoke today after practice.
Did he really?
He believes the passing attack is looking very crisp. He's bought into the culture and understanding what's going on in year two of the system, he says. He spoke highly of Hendon Hooker and Joe Milton, said they're both great leaders. And he said on Hendon Hooker, he said he's definitely taking he's taking another step to a next level. And then even speaking on Miles Campbell, he said he's going to be really special one day. So, and like you said, I'm a big fan of tight end play. I mean, really, Chiefs, Mark Andrews, George Kittle. Greg Kittle? What am I?
George,
okay. I don't know why I was thinking Greg there for a second. But, I mean, just they're a blast to watch play in the NFL. And just, you know, you think about all the other great tight ends that come from college. I mean, it's just it is a great position to have a strong couple guys at.
Well, I mean, you think about all the great tight ends that have come through college football. Jason Witten, Kellen Winslow have to be at the top of that list. Brock Bowers is going to put his name with those two.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's one of those things like you hope he doesn't do it against us.
Yeah. Please God, no.
But, he's so good, man. And he was only a freshman last year, which is insane.
Last thing, he is the Dale Earnhardt of tight ends. And the dude was only 19 years old, maybe 18. I'm not sure. Let's go back to the phones. Westchester is up next. What's up, Westchester? And there are no women in the building.
That's good to know. Maybe I won't get flushed.
Come on here saying what you did yesterday with just us in here.
Yeah. That would be a little weird.
I'd take it nicely.
What's up, buddy?
Especially since Jake's all sweaty and shirtless from mowing the yard. That would be really weird.
That would be a perfect day for that to happen. Oh, my. I would cry.
Sitting here, I'm all itchy.
Guys, I have a serious question that's kind of a joke, but it is a serious question. So,
what's up?
When you buy NCAA licensed apparel, it has that stupid hologram and tag on it, right?
Yes, I still have. I've got a lot of stuff with it still on it, come to think of it. I've got a sports ball jersey from like 1992 that's still got the original patch on it before it was the hologram.
Right, and that's probably not an example of what I was about to say, but most of it in the last 10 years has come from probably the same three or four sweatshops far east. So,
oh, yeah, without a doubt.
But my serious question is, are we going to see where somebody's going to come up with a tag for jerseys and stuff that has where the athletes are getting paid? Like, what's our guarantee that, you know, isn't NIL supposed to give them part of? I mean, I don't think that's the way it's actually working out, but they're not getting a piece of jersey sales, or they are.
So I think they are, because Hendon Hooker, you can buy his jersey right now. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like $165. So I think he's probably going to get whatever the markup is on that.
Let's go to shop.utsports.com real quick and take a look.
I don't think you can get it there. I think you have to get it exclusively through campus bookstore, Ball Shop.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I guess so. That's right.
So I know we don't talk. I know we don't talk politics on this station, and I'm all for that, because if I wanted to talk politics, I'd call. No, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't call Clay Travis. I hate that guy. But anyway, I guess we could fix the economy by opening a few more sweatshops in our own country and making these jerseys and stuff, couldn't we?
I mean, let's be honest. Moving on. Do we really think that these are all Nike? Like these T-shirts and stuff. Do we really think that Nike is making these?
No, of course not.
Exactly.
Of course they're not.
They're putting a Nike check on it and a Nike tag on it saying it's Nike, but it's not actually a Nike dry fit shirt.
No. But I mean, I was curious about that. I didn't know if they were going to, you know, if you buy merchandise, if, you know, you can pay for autographs and all that, but it would make sense to me that the player should get a piece of apparel sales too.
Yeah, and I mean, but one thing I would like to see Westchester is, you know, you can go back to the Adidas days when you either had, you know, during the Casey Clawson years, obviously you got a number 7 jersey. The Crompton years, you got an 8 jersey. I mean, you could even switch it up. I mean, they had LaMarcus Coker jerseys. You could get a number 4 for Denarius Moore, a number 6. You could get, or not Denarius Moore, but Gerald Jones, a number 11 for Bryce Brown, number 2, Montario Hardesty. The list goes on. You could get different numbers. And with Nike, they very much limit you to the one number that they're putting out for that year.
Well, no, because you can just do custom jerseys, and that's what that's for.
They've not been giving us the option to do that, though. They only did it for one season where you could get a custom jersey.
I just want the Nike jersey with number 69 and Westchester on the back. Can I get that?
I'd pay for it.
you can get custom jerseys other places, though, like that.
Okay, like if you're going to get a custom jersey, you have to make sure it's done right because it's obviously not going to be from Fanatics. It's not going to be from, you know, officially licensed UT apparel shop. It's going to be by somebody on either eBay or Facebook that's making them. You just have to make sure it's done right. Somebody got a custom dark mode jersey done last year that I saw on the VFL Facebook page. It might be the worst jersey I've ever seen in my life. They took a Pac-12 logo and put the letters SEC in it. It was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life. I felt bad for the person who bought it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, no, it was the ugliest thing ever. I'll try to find it for you.
Speaking of jersey numbers that make no sense, the great Brian Rice reminded me today that it is Rick Clawson's days until football time in Tennessee today.
That it is. Well, for the first half of the 2005 season, it was anyway.
not Peyton Manning, because, I mean, we all love Casey, but Rick wore number 16? Who the heck did he think he was?
Well, that's the thing. It's like you had Rashad Baker. I think he wore it as well.
Yeah, I remember there was one more. I can't remember who it was. But, I mean, he wasn't a quarterback at least, so, you know, I'm going to be the next Peyton Manning. No, you're not. No, you're not.
What number did he have at LSU?
If I was that guy, though, oh, God, to be that guy. Just to walk in him and be like, give me 16. Dude, I would love to just have that confidence in myself.
Oh, it's like any quarterback from Florida wearing number 15. It's like Anthony Richardson. It's like, buddy, you got some big shoes to fill wearing that number.
That's crazy. I mean, you got to respect certain numbers, I think.
Didn't Rick lose at LSU?
No, he... What happened that game? Eric Ainge played terrible in the first half. He got hurt. And then Rick Clawson was the one that came in the second half, and he led the charge. And I think they dubbed it like the rally in Death Valley or something like that, where we won 30-27 in overtime.
Horrible.
Yeah, I've never seen us win in Death Valley. It's kind of like the Swamp to me. I've been there, lost. I lost in the Swamp twice, and I'll never go back. I don't care if the Gators turn into candy. I'll never go back to the Swamp again.
Westchester, I hate the Swamp.
It just doesn't seem like a nice place to be. One, Florida's super sweaty. It's a gross place to hang out.
Well, the thing about it is, in the late 90s, they had that energetic young fan base that Tennessee has wanted for so long, because they've been bad for so long. They didn't have a whole lot of old money. So most of their season ticket holders were in their 20s, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and they were loud and obnoxious. And, you know, they're the fans you want in a football game if they're your fans. But right. It's brutal. I mean, you're getting heckled the whole way in and out. You know, I walked out of there with my freshman year. I bought a shirt from a 97 football shirt from the student center.
Yeah.
And it had all of our schedule in a pull rack, and it said rack 'em up. And this fan just the whole way out just stood behind me the whole way, just every 2 seconds, rack 'em up.
Man, that's not as bad as one of our fans from the 2011 Cincinnati game that was wearing his Letterman's jacket in 110-degree weather, shouting, six-time national champions. What y'all got? Y'all ain't got nothing, because you know what we got? We got six-time national champions.
That's pretty obnoxious, and due to the statute of limitations, I can't speak on what we did to Florida fans' cars and the in the tailgate that may or may not have been sponsored by a group called Feels Like 98. I think that was circa 2015 or so when we thought we were going to be good again.
Oh, that was 2016.
Was it 16? That was pretty close. Yeah. Yeah.
I may or may not have been there. Oh my!
I may or may not have urinated on a few cars that day. That's all I know. Oh man! I tell you, if you ever doubt the power of a parking lot full of drunk, rabid ball fans and the stupidity that accompanies that, oh, I can tell you some stories from that day. Things I saw.
That was a great
day. Holy crap! It was till we lost the game, but. You know, you get up, you get down. That's the story of Tennessee football. Guys, I guess that's enough. I guess that's all I got. 6-6, and our only road win is at Kandy.
Oh, yeah. Westchester.
Dramatic. Boo.
Oh, my goodness. Back to the Big Orange Phillies hotline. Daniel is up next. What's up, Daniel?
What?
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I got to go. I got a bone to pick with my boy Stack there.
Oh, no.
Look what you did yesterday, man.
I know. Yesterday was just a bad show, I guess, for me.
it wasn't the phone call deal. I was listening to the podcast this morning about this in the second hour, and man, listen, the take on the football players that left the team, you know, the Oklahoma Vols or Henry T going to Alabama. Dude, anybody at a Division I football player can get a draft lottery stock something. Khalil Mack had two Division I offers coming out of high school, and he's an All-Pro. The guy from UTC that got drafted.
Well, that's not what I was saying. I was just saying, like, just coming from Alabama as a linebacker, you clearly have like a path. There's a clear path in the past, like, few that they've put out there. Just
if you can cover a slant.
I don't even care, dude. You can learn that. You can coach that in the NFL. I'm just saying that there's no reason that from what happened at Tennessee and what was going down and what was going to happen, all of them needed to transfer out. We wouldn't be in the same boat now in the allegations if they didn't have all transferred out. We cleaned our whole plate. They had to transfer, right? What's wrong with him choosing Alabama in a national championship school? Like, he didn't have, like, I don't know. Like, the school didn't, like, there's no allegiance, I don't think. There's no problem of loyalty. There shouldn't be. He's an athlete. It's not the same thing as, like, a fan jumping fan bases. That's my only point is, like, there's not a problem.
No, it's worse.
No, it's not.
It is worse. It is worse.
No, it's not, dog. Because they didn't help him out. They literally ruined his whole football career, basically. What?
Who did?
The whole situation at Tennessee put him in a terrible position.
He could have stayed.
There's no allegiance. And what? We'd be in a terrible position and have to succumb bowl games because we have kids on the team? So now we got to punish those kids and they take that away? Like, what if that really never comes down? That's all my
point. But if that were the case, then they wouldn't be eligible where they're at.
Man, that's just...
Yeah.
The kid's just trying to... His goal is not to please fans. His goal is to have a football career. You got to think of the mind of an athlete, not the idea of a fandom. He's not a fan. He's a player. He's going to get the best out of what he thinks is the best opportunity for him. And that was as a linebacker at Alabama. There's no problem with that.
And you know how it ended last year? With Brock Bowers catching a pass out in the flat and running into the end zone.
In a New Year's Six. In the Final Four and the National Championship game. I don't want to hear it. Or not in the National Championship game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, National Championship game. It ended with Brock Bowers catching a pass out in the flat.
The whole world knew Georgia was going to win it anyway, so it don't even matter. And it's not Henry's fault.
If he covers Brock Bowers on 3rd and 14 or whatever it was.
But continue, Daniel. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. And I mean, I got zero respect for what Henry T. and all the volunteers that left like they did. They pledged allegiance to Jeremy Pruitt, and I get it. You know, that was the coaching staff that brought them in. But the whole narrative that you have to transfer to Alabama to get recognized is just not is just not the case in modern day college football.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't mean it like that, I guess, per se. But I do get what you're saying. Well, it's a lot more prestigious than like if he went to, I don't know, Kansas or something. I mean,
well, he's not going to go to Kansas. He would have went to like USC or Oregon or somewhere like that.
I don't know.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Alabama, I'm still probably going to want to get coached by Nick Saban before he retires.
Oh, my God.
I don't care, dog. As a football player, dude, as a lover of football, you wouldn't want to go get coached by Bear Bryant at some point in history. You wouldn't go back and meet him. You wouldn't go beat
rather get coached by Robert Nealon because Robert Nealon never lost to Bear Bryant.
You wouldn't go meet – you would still go back and meet these people. They're great generational men.
No,
Yes, you.
No, and the next time I go to Tuscaloosa, I'm probably going to put a Peyton Manning jersey on the statue of Bear Bryant.
Would you go back and ask Bear Bryant some questions about football?
I mean, you're speaking hyperbolically. I mean, of course you probably would, but it's 2022.
You would still want to meet. You would ask Nick Saban questions about football too, right?
Yeah, but
okay,
I mean,
that's my point.
But here's the thing. But here's the thing. There are 7 ways to skin a cat. Everybody's getting to the league nowadays. I mean, you don't – like, Nick Saban, like, is not the end-all, be-all just to get to the league. Everybody gets to the league. Khalil Mack got to the league with 2 Division I offers. Is all that I'm getting at. And as far as Henry T. and Will T. goes, that guy can – you know, he was a turncoat, in my opinion. And I'm not even talking from a perspective of –
I don't care. No, I 100% respect it. I get the whole thing. He did that. That's big rivalries. I do understand like why he is hated now. I understand also why he did choose Alabama.
Playing
devil's advocate is all I'm over here doing. I'm so sorry.
You tried to say they weren't ring chasing. That was the biggest thing.
I'm saying the majority of people don't ring chase. I'm saying there are a couple, but that's a select few of pure athletes that are like that level. They had the ability to go and start immediately in their final year, senior year, and go play at Alabama and get a national and get a ring.
I'll say this, and this will be the last on because it's clearly a sensitive subject, and I'm sorry. But one would argue, and this is the argument that I have, he would have had more significant playing time with an equal of an absolute bird's eye view of the league by staying at Tennessee and being the crucial piece. But that's hindsight 2020. The guy's gone, whatever. You know, don't let the door hit you. That's fine. I'm just, coming from, that's just kind of what I say. Hey, I appreciate you. You got good topics. Just had to come in on that.
I respect it. I love it. No, I do get it. Hey, I'd much rather have stayed and like been that kind of guy. But there are the people that do. They're like, I have to get out of this. And honestly, most of them all kind of were. They had to get out. If we wanted to be in the situation we're at now. With barely getting – what we hope to get is barely any sanctions because of how we handle the situation in-house.
On the way out, big-time pickup. Jake, let's get to the – let's go dancing a little bit longer this year. I'm still on the Rick Barnes train. We just got to dance a little further, boys. Thank you. Y'all have a good evening.
Appreciate you, Daniel. Great call.
Stay with us. And Stackhouse has hit a button of some sort. I did not know that we had that button.
Rocked my ear. All right.
Anyway, stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Welcome back. Overtime continues. Let's go right back to the phones. Talk to Martin. Good evening, Martin.
Good afternoon, Jake. Good evening, Jake. Jake,
sir.
Do you know what Freddie DeLeon's stats were last year?
I don't know. I was actually trying to look that up, Martin. That was the next thing we were going to talk about. Of course, I know he visited Alabama just a couple of weeks ago, and his official visit to Tennessee was back in June. So he actually took two visits after us. He took a visit to Wake Forest and he took a visit to Alabama. And I think in that time Louisville had offered him. But, of course, today or yesterday we found out that he was looking like a Tennessee lean and then he committed today. So big news for the basketball program.
Yes, I've got the stats if you want them.
All right, I want them.
All right. He averaged 21.6 points per game, 3.2 assists, and 7 rebounds a game.
Hmm.
What did he shoot?
21 points.
No, percentage.
Oh.
My bad. Sorry.
Six points.
Yes. And you know what I'm hearing, Jake?
What you hearing, Martin?
I'm hearing we hadn't gave up on Deshaun Bishop at Carnes yet.
I don't think we have, and I don't think we will. I think there might be some outside factors playing a role there, but you know, at the end of the day, if he wants to have the chance to make it to the next level, he knows where to come, and that's right here to Tennessee.
Yes, and the thing about it is, we're having so many injuries at running back right now. We need all the running backs we can get.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Martin. I mean, I think we're 5 or 6 deep right now, if you include a walk-on. But
yes, but 3 of them's hurt.
Exactly. That's the thing. Is 3 of them are hurt, and you've got to have running backs in this offense. And we saw that last year. Everyone wants to talk about the passing attack, but
yes, our running backs were
great.
We were down to a walk-on from Marble College last year.
Yeah, that we were.
Playing him in the games.
Oh, that was a little ugly, wasn't it, Martin?
I tell you what, we need all running backs we can get.
That we do. I agree 100%. And, I mean, he's committed to Coastal Carolina right now. Martin, I don't know if you've ever been down to Coastal Carolina. The only good thing about that place is there's a good Mexican restaurant about 5 miles down the road, and then the beach is about 10 miles down the road. That's the only good thing about that school.
My family's been there, but I had never been there before.
Well, I'll tell you this. You're not missing much.
Yes. But, I'm just glad we got that basketball player today. I've been hoping we'd send us a good guard.
Yeah, because we needed him, and especially a 4-star. I'll take that any day of the week.
They know, like I told Russell on his show, I said, if you want to go to the NBA and you want to play hard and work hard, you play for Coach Barnes and Kate Phillips said that himself.
That he did.
He said it's the culture in Rick Barnes.
That speaks volumes. That shows exactly what his players are thinking of him, man. It's just really good to hear stuff like that.
I know my kids believe it, you know, like that, ain't
it? That speaks volumes. No doubt about it.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, Jake.
Appreciate you, Martin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, Martin just mentioned, big pickup today. But I did want to dive in, tease it a little bit on the Jake Miller Facebook account. Everything that we know is coming from 247 about EA Sports College Football 24.
This got me so hyped up, dude. This, honestly, it checked a lot more boxes than I expected it to.
So, what I'm getting from it, and we'll read the entire article, you know, here in a few minutes, but they're going to use the Madden engine. As long as they don't just reskin the game and just make it Madden, it's going to be just like the old one. It's literally going to be NCAA 14, just on a newer gen console, different fan interactions, game's probably going to be the same. I'm okay with that, but there are some other things that I want to see as well. Like an expandable playoff. I want Team Builder back. Because, you know, they discontinued that from the series once the servers went offline.
Like create your own school?
Yeah, like you could go online, you create the uniform from scratch, create the field from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
Customize the entire roster.
I hope they do have a uniform editor like that where you create uniforms, like create a school. I would love to see like stadium creators back too.
Do you know how many hours I spent doing that?
Dude, I spent
probably 7 days worth in hours just like, creating teams.
Yeah, easily one of my favorite things to do is just create like my high school teams and then like especially like, you know, but man, dude, being able to build a stadium again, you know, you got to pick your marching, your fight song, I mean. You got to choose all the sort of sounds that went into it, the lights, the press boxes, the stadium, all the grass. Oh, and now with technology, bro, and like even with like the PGA games, how you can build it.
You can build your own course.
Courses. Like, I mean, like every tree you can plant. It's dumb detailed.
You know exactly how tall your grass is.
Yeah, it's like dumb detail, and I would love to see like that's the thing with Madden is like they have the engine. I don't think is a problem. It's just the effort they put into the game. They've just been lazy for like 20 years. They've just been so lazy.
It's the same game over and over and over.
Yeah, they don't care about any of us, and it's known. It's not. And we still buy the games. So.
Well, I mean, the only reason I bought Madden when I first got the PS5 was just so I could see if there was any difference between the PS4 and the PS5. Or I guess I had the Xbox One? Yeah. So I was trying to see if there was any difference. The only difference that I could pinpoint is that you could see footprints in the snow.
That was so cool to me.
I'm sorry. Are you kidding me? Like, this is what I'm getting?
Have y'all seen some of the, I guess, the bugs on the new Madden? It's been out, what, it came out today. If you paid $100 for it, but I'll send y'all some of the clips here in a few minutes, but, like, they're just terrible. Like, you're clearly in the end zone, and they say you're down at the one, and then your whole body hits the ground, and you can get up and keep going. Like, already
that's why I bought it yet, because I really don't buy my Madden games until like halfway through the season. I'm like, I can't. $60 is so hard to spend because I know the game is trash. So like now I'm at the point where I don't want to waste.
You just wait until it's free on EA Play.
Like, dog, I mean, there's so many more games. Barely even that. Like, I'll pay like $30 for a game and not care. Like, whatever. The effort that goes into building a video game is a lot. So I'm cool with $60 on a lot of games, but not Madden.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, I spent $60 on.
Except the last one. The last one was not good.
I spent tons of money on video games. I have a problem. But no, this what I've read and what I've seen about the game has my hopes high. Because for me, dude, I really just want to see the different game modes be really good. You know, I want Road to Glory to be really good and really interesting and have like depth to it and not just be like one season and then they just kill off the dialogue and they kill off the story.
There's right.
Nothing to it.
Well, that's the thing is there's no dialogue. There's no story to it after the fact.
Yeah, it's lame.
If they really want to do it up big, you need to incorporate different pieces from each of the games in the past.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You remember like on, I think it was NCAA 06, you actually had to take a test in the Road to Glory mode. Like, you got to pick the difficulty of your academic level, and you actually had to take a test. And these were, like, real-world questions.
Oh, yeah, dude, I loved that. And yeah. I hated school. I don't really like school. Like school? Don't really like it. I want to say hate.
But... And if you didn't perform, you got suspended.
Yeah, it was so crazy, dude. I loved doing that. I like failing tests just to see if I could get suspended. I think that was just, you know. But I just like playing with schools. Like, I made a running back to San Diego State.
One something that is coming back, though, is the digital... magazine covers.
Yes,
because like in the older PlayStation
that.
Games, you saw like I think at one point it was Sports Illustrated. Before that, it was Athlon Sports, Sporting News, whatever it may be. Those magazines were in the game, and you got customizable covers.
I love that. That was so.
That's cool. Even though nobody's really reading magazines anymore.
Who cares? They'll probably do like. They'll probably have like. Instead of like I don't know. They'll probably still have magazine covers because, you know, we still get the, what is it, Football Time magazine every time it comes out.
I still
out.
Get those.
Yeah, right?
I still get
still
the ladies.
A big thing. We'll probably still do that. College. That's why I love college football, dude. It's like a whole different.
It's like, its own cult.
Yeah, it's a.
I mean, let's call it what it is.
It's its own cult of like yeah. thing. It's totally different than the NFL. And like magazines are still, I guess.
It's like the college football cult, and I'm a part of it. I mean, it's crazier than the cult for Trader Joe's. Then people are weird.
And then Dynasty has to be too good, too. Like recruiting has to be dope.
There needs to be a transfer portal on
yes!
there. Like, transfer portal in
yes,
season.
Yes, dude.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
I'm not saying, like, transfer within, like, that season.
Oh, I get you.
Like, players enter the transfer portal, you can pick them up immediately.
Yeah, but recruiting has to be super dope. Super dope. And you know those always those, like, niche people that, yeah. that, like, go deep into that, and you can, like, upload... rosters for the recruiting.
Yes.
Stuff like that. And these people make like high school kids the top 300, and they put them into the game just download rosters and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, this game just makes me so happy because, like, I'm telling you, if Madden and NEA, which they probably won't, I'll probably have my hopes let up and just shot, but if they put a lot of effort into this, man, the cult that is college football, dude, will go nuts over this game. They could do so much to this game and make, like, people go in-depth, especially with, like, streaming. Like, people can do whole seasons and stuff now.
Oh, we'll fire back up the fan-run Twitch.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, tons of things would go into I mean, like, just imagine, like, what people do with, like, now like,
we'll
with,
do that.
Like,
I'll set up
football.
A Patreon. I'll do whatever I need to do.
Like, people could go crazy with this stuff. Just, like, custom creators, like, all sorts of things. They need to make this game huge. They probably won't. They'll probably just rake money out of 12-year-olds and 8-year-olds, and parents will be just mad that their credit cards are being blasted with dynasty points or something.
Hey, I mean, it is what it is.
No, I hate it. I can't stand it. Fortnite ruined sport. I mean, video games, honestly, but
I mean, it is what it is. Hour number one in the books. Stay tuned. Hour number two coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. John Dunn. Almost called him
Josh. Josh Dunn. My brother.
Pause. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Your heating and air system is the biggest energy user in your home. Small ripples in your system's efficiency can cause